أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآله. الحمد لله. الحمد لله that once again Allah has given us permission, has deemed us as worthy to experience Muharram once again, this month of sacrifice, this month of experiencing a burning but at the same time transcendent love. إِنَّ لِقَتْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَارَةً لَن تَبْرُدَ أَبَدًا. No matter how much they try to extinguish this fire that's within us, it only grows. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah that we have this worthiness, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when it comes to worthiness, they go easy when it comes to Abu Abdullah and his musibah. Or else we're not worthy. I'm not worthy. We thank Allah for that. We thank Allah for allowing us to, through Muharram, through these tears that we're going to shed, inshallah, cleanse our inside, our batin, our soul, to get more and more ready for what we've been created for, which is spiritual growth. There's a very, very strong bond between tears for Abu Abdullah and spiritual growth. We'll talk about that inshallah. Spiritual growth is so great when it comes to Muharram that the greats who aren't known that much for doing for their poetry and aza and maddahi, as they say, for Imam Hussein, they're ulama, they're great marajin. When it comes to Muharram, they're known for certain things that they've said and done. I'll give you an example. Ayatullah Bahjat Rahmatullah Alayh. There's a famous line that he has said, and I was walking in the Faydiya once, the famous house in Al-Qum. I was walking to come out and I saw that this was on the board there. So when they posted there, you're sure he said it. That, and I always say this, that crying for Abu Abdullah, shedding tears for Abu Abdullah is higher than Salat al-Layl. Salat al-Layl, something that these greats, when you go to them and you speak to them, it's the number one condition after taqwa, to reach high levels of spirituality, something that everyone is after these days. The highest thing on the list after taqwa of Allah is Salat al-Layl. But he, all of a sudden, he comes out and he says, you want spiritual growth, this is higher. Do you know why? This part he hasn't said, this is my understanding. When you do Salat al-Layl even, it's hard still for the heart. This heart that has hardened like stone, for this heart to be touched, it's still hard. Even Salat al-Layl, waking up in the middle of the night, speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of the night, developing that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is much better than in the daytime. That's why even the Prophet was ordered to make sure that he wakes up at night. And the Quran says, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. In the day you have a lot of work to do. It's harder to maintain that connection. But at night, it's different. Even in that time of the night, when we are speaking to Allah, still it's hard. The heart is hardened, unfortunately. But I don't know what it is that when it comes to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, these hearts can connect completely. The hearts connect completely, and the sign for that is the tears that come. And so the Bahjat knows that. That's why he says it's higher than that. Of course, that's not the only reason, but that's one of the main reasons, apparently. What has Abu Abdullah done? Abu Abdullah did everything, Allah gave him everything. Out of respect for what he has done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anyone who upholds your memory, commemorates you in this fashion, I'll give him everything. Not because what we do is great, brothers and sisters, What Abu Abdullah did alayhi salam was so great that Allah has respect for us. And that's what I mean when I say, if it was bound to our worthiness, we had nothing. Abu Abdullah is worthy, he gives worthiness to us. He invites us to come, alhamdulillah. We thank Allah for that. So what are we going to do, inshallah? If it's that important, spirituality is tied to these tears. Some people from 40 days before Muharram, 40 days before Ashura, they go on a spiritual fast. What do? They're extra careful. Extra careful not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they were relaxed a little bit, they were a little sloppy when it came to haram and wajib and halal and all of that, for 40 days, they uphold it. And of course, this is not the ideal. We want this throughout the year. But anyway, point being, now we've entered the 10 days. Those special 10 days. At least these 10 days should be the days that we're going to watch out. We're going to be extra careful. Don't let this heart be tainted by haram. Why? So we can make the most of it. How? Through the tears. If you want tears to come more sincerely, you're going to have to tone up that taqwa, inshallah, this month, inshallah. Especially these 10 days. And it's because of all these good things that are happening that there's some poetry that goes like this. I'll just cut it short. That, O Abu Abdullah, when Muharram comes, I don't know whether to be happy or to be sad. When Muharram arrives, something in us is happy. It's all musibah. It's all hardship. They've killed our master. But something deep down inside is happy because of all these good things that are going to happen. That connection is going to be made. We're getting a taste of what the connection to Allah is going to be like. Sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Which brings me to this. This season of Muharram, Safar and all that is the season where we get a chance to see how Imam Hussein alayhi salam said Labbaik Ya Allah. Of course, he left Mecca. He wasn't able to perform Hajj. But he said Labbaik Ya Allah. Why do I use this line? Because today, it's tradition, it's custom. On Ashura, we have those marches here and there. What are people chanting? People are all over the world are chanting Labbaik Ya Hussein. And when you hear this, personally, when I hear this, my body begins to shake. Labbaik Ya Hussein only has meaning when you have said Labbaik Ya Allah before it. Okay? I'm slowly making my way towards what we're going to be talking about, inshallah, these nights. Labbaik Ya Hussein depends on Labbaik Ya Allah, but unfortunately, this is being neglected. Labbaik Ya Hussein is cooler sometimes, in a good way, of course, in a spiritual way. But there's some things we're forgetting here. If you have said Labbaik Ya Allah every single day throughout the year, then you can reward yourself on Ashura by saying Labbaik Ya Hussein. This is for the elite though. The normal people, Sa'yuhum Mashkur, of course they will be rewarded, of course they will be blessed. But that special level of things is for those people who have a special understanding. Labbaik Ya Hussein, if you're going to reward yourself, you can only reward yourself if throughout the year you have had Ya Labbaik Ya Allah. The amount of sincerity in your Labbaik Ya Hussein, if you want to measure it, how do you measure it? Measure the sincerity of Labbaik Ya Allah every single day. Allah. I'm going to paint a picture for you. Allah. The importance of Allah for Imam Hussein. What did Imam Hussein do? When you look at Imam Hussein and you look, compare him to the universe, to creation, to the people, You feel like sometimes the universe is revolving around Imam Hussein alayhi salam. All of creation wants Hussein alayhi salam. It's as if Imam Hussein is standing, all of creation is behind him, just looking to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But that's where we stop sometimes. Who is Imam Hussein looking at? The same way that all of the creation and universe is looking at him. Who is he looking at like this? Beauty of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go all the way up to Imam Hussein, we stop there. This is not the elite. If we're going crazy, if the world is going crazy and in the love of Imam Hussein is going the same for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as I said, this is for those who have cleansed their hearts to get closer to understand this. Some of the great ulama have done this. We always go all the way up to Ashura in our lectures, in our musibah and all that. What's the last thing we say before they finish the job of Hussein? Ridan bi ridak. We end with Tawheed. That's where it's supposed to start. That's where the story starts. Tawheed is where it starts. All the good stuff comes out of Tawheed, Ma'rifatullah. But we end it there. So I was thinking, maybe it's a good idea. If we're going to be saying Labbayka Ya Hussein, inshallah, on those days, to start with Tawheed. If we're going to say Labbayka Ya Hussein then let's start with saying Labbayka Ya Lord of Hussein, alayhi salam. The Lord of Hussein. I'll talk about that a little bit tonight. What I mean, there's different aspects to it. Who is this Allah? All of creation is killing themselves. If when you're in this majalis, in the Latmiyya, when their people are destroying themselves, annihilating themselves for Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. You're looking at if the veils were to go to the side for a person, and he was to see that Imam Hussein right now is looking down on this majlis, how special would that be? We're killing ourselves for him. For a split second, please look down upon us. Look at us in a special way. Imam Hussein is looking like this to Allah. Then who is this Allah? Oh, who cares? Allah is very mazloom. The Lord of Hussein. Who is this Allah? There's different ways of approaching this. Ahlul Bayt came to put our hands in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what they're here for. When you ask people this is what they say in theory. But when it comes to our practice, practically, we're away from Him. And since we're away from Him, we're looking for something else to satisfy that fitri need, that fitri connection to the transcendent, to the metaphysical. Well, of course we'll find it in Imam Hussein. That's the first tangible thing out there that is a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know it ourselves. When we're killing ourselves for Imam Hussein, we're killing ourselves for Allah. Why? If I hold a mirror into the sun, and that light reflects into your eyes, will it blind you or not? Will it hurt your eyes or will it not? Of course it will. But is it the mirror's light that's hurting your eyes? Or is it the sun's light? Very simple. It's the sun's light. Allah, if we're falling in love with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this is stuff that ulama say, not me. We're actually falling in love with him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't know it. It's as if Imam Hussein is saying, listen, I'm here to give you a very, very small taste of that beauty. That's why I'm destroying myself for him. I'm not destroying myself only, my family, everything for him. He's so good. He's so beautiful. He's so perfect. I'm assuming, inshallah, that the brothers and sisters who come here, they're after being a little more elite, inshallah. We have to always keep this in mind. And through practice of taqwa, every single day, this belief in us will grow and strengthen. If someone has these beliefs, but doesn't reinforce with taqwa, doesn't reinforce with this, with obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to wajib, when it comes to haram, it will not help them. They won't feel this, what I'm talking about. That's why I'm not feeling this. Or people like me aren't feeling it. If you want something for real, Allah is the thing to be after. Why? We want Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein wants Allah for you. Tawheed, ma'rifatullah. And it makes me happy that our youth are asking for this these days. And that's why I'm talking about it, this Ashra, inshallah. I'm going to be talking a little bit about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because our youth are asking for it. Not one or two. I've noticed this all over the place. They'll say, every Muharram we are told that Imam Hussein alayhi salam sacrificed everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know this already. Tell us about this Allah that he sacrificed himself for. Ahsan. It's good. That's good. That shows that there's growth. There's some development and understanding. And alhamdulillah, I've seen this mostly, these comments in the brothers and sisters in the UK. Alhamdulillah. That's why I saved it for you guys. Recite salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. They're always telling us, and this is what they say, and of course, I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, because personally, I have a problem with people who also think like this. But the statement is right, but it's not to be misunderstood or misused. They say they're always telling us about how Imam Hussein left this life. Why don't they tell us about how he lived this life, how his connection was with his Lord and so on? This is also good. Of course, there are some people who want to limit it to this. No. Every single year, we will speak about how Imam Hussein was killed. Because they took away Eid al-Ghadir from us. In their books, it's not there. We don't have the story in the two major books of the other schools. We don't have the story of Ghadir. We have one place in one of these books where there's a mention of it, that the Prophet said something in Ghadir. Said something. He preached the people. That's all we have. They took Ghadir from us. They took Fatimiyya from us, right? We don't have this in many sources and of the other schools. We don't have many of the details. We don't know what's going on there. And that's why the lay people of today, of those schools, it's not their fault. The history books don't have it. To keep it alive, we're not going to let them take it from us. We're going to continue talking about the death of Imam Hussein every single year, no problem. And every single year, it'll be harder for us, inshallah, to bear than the year before. And inshallah, we'll move towards the coming of the Imam. But at the same time, we want to fix ourselves or else the Imam's not going to come. Because the Imam doesn't want another Ashura to happen. Allah doesn't want another Ashura to happen. If it was all about love of Imam Hussein, of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, then we all have love. But the people of Imam Hussein's time also had love. Very simple. Sometimes I sit down and think to myself, I'm like, apparently, when they were attacking the Imam, they still had love for him, apparently. The problem was that they had love of other things as well. Who doesn't love the light? Who doesn't love truth? Truth is beautiful. Anyway, these are points that youth are making. Very good. Alhamdulillah. So we're going to address it, inshallah, a little bit. But of course, towards the end, there's no choice, because Allah Himself is saying, I want you to remember my Hussein more on those that last night. But till then, inshallah, we're going to work on this a little bit more. Because the truth is, the people have distanced themselves from this guy by the name of Allah. It's not a good way of saying it. But that's how the people in practice are doing it. He's not even the Lord anymore. I'll give you two examples. One of our teachers, he came back from Hajj this year. He was telling me that he was with some people performing the Hajj. And he says we were facing the Kaaba and we were doing tawaf. After the tawaf, this layperson, he said to me that, Shaykhna, ziyarat of Imam al-Ridha is something else though. true. Don't be like, oh, these sheikhs don't know what they're talking about, myself. They don't know the love of the A'imma and Ahlul Bayt. Yes, Karbala is higher than Mecca and so on. Been there and done that, don't worry. I've been there, I've done that. And I agree. Of course, in its own context. But the point I want to make, in front of the Kaaba, this is the home of God, man. You're singing in front of God. This shows that your tawheed, level of tawheed is low. You don't understand. Imam al-Ridha destroys himself in the love of Allah. Huh? This is emotions that take over. Either that, or the tawheed level is low because practice hasn't supported the tawheed to allow the tawheed to grow. This itself is another topic to talk about. Inshallah, future nights I'll point to it, inshallah, when the time comes. This is not good. This is not a good sign. Because those who came after Abu Abdullah alayhi salam in Muharram, before Muharram, they were with him in his caravan. They were muwahideen. They were high in their level of iman. Look at their worship. It's not only that they did lakmiya and so on. No, that's very important though. Very important. Should I give you stories of our ulama, how they would respect those who do mourning for Abu Abdullah? Many stories. I'm not here to undermine that. Please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. But this side is the more important side. The tawheed is the more important side. Another story. Not a story. It's an example. There's a line of poetry I'm going to share with you. It's in Farsi again, but I'll just say the English. It goes like this. That, oh Allah, it's along these lines. Oh Allah, I want to go to Karbala. Why don't you let me go to Karbala? If you don't let me go to Karbala and do ziyarah, I'm never going to talk to you again. Now someone will say that this is symbolic. This is showing the height and level of my love for Abu Abdullah. Or else, of course, I would never do such a thing or say such a thing or mean such a thing. Yes, that's true. But let me ask you a question. Would you ever talk like that to Abu al-Fadl Abbas? Ya Abbas, alayhi salam, do something so that Karbala works out for me. I want to go for ziyarah of Abu Abdullah. But if you don't, na'udhu billah, I will not speak with you anymore. You think anyone would talk like this? Even being poetic, even being symbolic and figuratively speaking, you think anyone would speak like this to Abu al-Fadl Abbas? No, I don't think so. It shows that there's a lack in understanding here. And that's what our great ulama are here for, to fix these little things up. Because if you don't fix these little things up, later on problems will come up, as we see today. Problems coming up here and there. Recite salawat, please. These are just examples that I was giving about how there's misunderstanding. We have to fix that up, inshallah. Now, of course, we don't expect much here in these majalis. This is just to get things started, inshallah. These nights, inshallah, are just an example to get us ready, to get us thinking, to get us out of that sleep that sometimes we might, or that nap that we fall into, inshallah, sometimes, to get us out of that, inshallah. I'll give you another story which is interesting. Look at this. Allama Qadi rahmatullah alayh. Who is Allama Qadi? Allama Qadi is the teacher of Ayatollah Bahjat, the teacher of Allama Tabatabai, the teacher of many greats. Muhammad Taqi Amuni, all these greats that we've had, this lineage of or chain of greats that we have ends at him. You can't say ends at him, but he's one of the great ones in that chain. It goes on after him, it goes up to. They say for 40 years he was trying his hardest. Ibadatullah, ibadatullah, ibadatullah. But he wasn't reaching that point. Now, I don't know what I'm talking about here, but he wasn't reaching that point where he wanted to reach of ma'rifatullah. Where, you know, the veils go aside maybe. certain veils, of course, because for sure those initial veils had gone aside before for him. They are after things that we don't even know what those are. He says, one day or one night I was in Bainul Haramain. Good stuff happens in Bainul Haramain. And someone passed by and said, what you're after is with Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. And he says, I had gone for ziyarat, apparently, if I remember the story correctly. But I went back, and that's where stuff was given to me. Presents were given to me. So, look at this. They aren't the hadaf. They're not the ultimate goal, unlike how some perceive. And when you ask them, they will tell you, no, they're not the ultimate goal, but in practice, that's what's happening. That shaitan is cunning, man. The hadaf, the ultimate hadaf is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you're going to get there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't connect, you can't connect a light bulb to the power plant and then turn that power plant on. Electricity will flow into that light bulb and just explode it to powder. So it has to happen through a channel. You have to water it down, so to speak. That electricity, that current that flows with that power, you have to weaken it so a little light bulb can turn on. Where that little light bulb? If the rahma wasi'a, if that hidayah takwiniyah is going to reach us so that we get closer to Allah, it happens through that channel of Ahlul Bayt. Yes. This I'll give to you. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. Excuse me, recite salawat, please. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. You're a special imam. You're already guiding the people, O Ibrahim. Now you're going to be something special where my special guidance flows through you to reach the people. Those people who put themselves on the treadmill, that treadmill, you're the ones to push the button so it moves them towards me, or else they don't know what to do. هِدَايَةَ تَكْوِينِيَّةَ. If we're going to move to the next level, we have to put our feet on their hands as if they help us up higher. Yes, that is given. But where are we climbing towards? We have to climb up Tawheed. And that's why we have another story, the great Ansari Hamadani. When it comes to spiritual growth and spiritual wayfaring and these Arafat, these greats, They say you can't do it without a teacher. It's very dangerous, they even say sometimes. I don't know what they're talking about. I'm just relating to you what is said. But there are two that they say they didn't have an ustad. They didn't have a teacher for spiritual wayfaring. Allah Himself helped them. Why? I don't know, once again. One was the late Ayatollah Uthma Bahauddini, one of the greats. And the other was this Ayatollah Ansari Hamadani, who was also buried in Qom. Someone came to him once, and he's also, you can say, contemporary. Maybe he passed away 30 years ago, maybe. He's not from hundreds of years ago. There's pictures of him. He passed away sooner than Ayatollah Bahauddin, but anyway. He's one of those that Allah, they say, took his hand himself. Someone came to him and was telling him that I have this power of Tayyul Ard, they say, where I can travel long distances in a short period of time. When someone's soul gets stronger, they can do certain things. And that can happen through halal means and through haram means. That's why you have some gurus sometimes doing extraordinary things. Through haram means. Anyway, if the soul gets strong enough, certain things can happen. That might happen through haram, that might happen through legitimate and halal means. And the only means for that that's halal is through number one, taqwa, then salat al-layl and these types of things, the things that Allah has ordained. Anyway, he comes to him, he says, I have this power of this, I have this power of that, and he's going on and on. Who are you telling this to? Ayatollah Ansari Hamadani, of all people. This guy, this man knows the ways of the heavens better than you. What are you talking about? Who knows what this man has seen? And he's boasting about these things. What does he say in return, Ayatollah Ansari Hamadani? Ayatollah Ansari Hamadani, he says, But I have Tawheed. So we're sitting here like Tawheed. Well, we all have Tawheed. If we don't have Tawheed, we're not Muslim. Tawheed, so what? No, this is a special Tawheed. This is you feeling Tawheed. This is you seeing Tawheed. This is you seeing Allah everywhere as if the might, the power of Allah everywhere. They see some people, I think it's in Najaf, they would sit there back in the day of the Hawza, the old school Hawza in Najaf. They would sit with their cloak on their head and they're just looking at the people when they're walking. They say that these people had Tawheed Af'ali. They would see Allah in the steps that are being taken by these people. They're seeing Allah everywhere. The youth that came to the Prophet during the Prophet's time, he said, I see heaven and hell right now. The Prophet said, don't. He's not lying. He's telling the truth. This is a special Tawheed that has to do with actions and growing, developing. I don't know, inshallah, we might talk about it. Although those of you who know me from before, you know that I'm always talking about this because this is the most important thing. And it has to do with practice. And that's what we usually see is the lack in our communities, is the practice part. What I mean by practice, inshallah, maybe we'll talk about. So we're going to be talking about the Lord of Hussein. That's the first step, theory. Inshallah, because sometimes if you don't fix the theory, the practice, which is very important, is going to lack. If you don't believe in something the way you're supposed to, you won't act upon it. If you believe in something 50%, you'll give it 50% effort, no more than that. But Mawlana, you want to talk about Allah in Muharram? That doesn't make sense. Muharram is for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Well, have me over some other time, we'll talk about it then. No, this venue, Muharram is for fixing things up, inshallah. They say the Prophet would go to the masjid, or this is a story we've all heard, he went to the masjid, two circles of people, some are discussing theological matters and theoretical matters, others are in worship. The Prophet said, yes, I have been sent for worship in these types of things, but I'm going to sit with this circle of people discussing Allah. No one told the Prophet, oh, this is a masjid. Masjid is a place of worship. Battle of Siffin. Someone comes to Imam Ali alayhi salam asking about Tawheed and these types of things. They tell him, can't you see that there's a battle going on? Imam Ali says, be quiet. This is what we're fighting for. Hello. We're fighting for Tawheed. He takes his hand, sits on the side and explains to him certain things. Don't tell me this is not the time. If you're going to tell me that, then you have to tell Rasulullah and Imam Ali that. I don't think you want to do that. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So how are we going to do it, inshallah? When it comes to the Lord of Hussein, there's two dimensions. One, as I said, there's a practical and theoretical. Personally, I'm always talking about the practical. But I beat myself up and convinced myself to do theoretical, inshallah, a little bit. And then when you have theoretical, you have two sides to it again. One time you are going to develop the foundations of thought. Sometimes you have the foundations. You've done aqaid. You've gone to Sunday school, inshallah. I don't know what they teach. But if they teach you these things, which they do, I think, you have developed that. But then when it comes to applying, and applying in theory, of course, these foundations, these fundamentals that you have in you, you get stuck. For example, you know Allah is all-powerful. You know Allah can create whatever He wants. He says, I say be, and it is. But then someone comes along in school when you're in third grade, and he says, can God create something? A stone that He can't lift? Right? That famous question. the answer you get stuck. Why? Because, okay, if he's all powerful, then he should be able to lift it. But if he is also all creating, he should be able to create something that he can't lift, right? No? You get stuck. Like, okay, how do we fix this problem? How do we solve this problem? This is that third aspect. So we have the practical, we have the theoretical. Theoretical into two. Sometimes you want to develop foundations of thought. Sometimes, no, you already have those, and we have those. But you get stuck in certain areas. You get stuck in certain verses of the Quran. We'll talk about this tomorrow night, inshallah. One of the examples. And then what happens is you develop this, let's call it a mental imaginary tumor in your head where it starts eating away at your belief. It doesn't let you practice. Shaitan uses that. Every time you want to do something, this is getting in the way. If God is just, then why did this happen? If God is just, then why in the Quran does He say this? Why in the Quran does He say that? I did this to these people, I did that, and so on. These questions sometimes are more important than those foundations that we've actually attained before. They shake those. And when you shake a foundation like that and the building comes down, it's hard to rebuild. So we have to be careful about those too. Inshallah, this is the part we'll highlight a little bit. We'll talk about a little bit over these nights. Of course, I'm going to try to make it as interesting as possible. And I think you'll like it, inshallah. I think it's very important as well. We want to get rid of these barriers, these things that block us from that, from the practical, from that last stage of practice. We want to develop those bunkers of thought that we can fall back on whenever we get stuck. This is one thing I want us to pay attention to in these nights, is the way we want to solve these problems, how it works. When it comes to a foundational or fundamental belief that we have, how do we use that to understand certain things? How do we use that if we get stuck as a bunker to fall back into? It's like these strategy games where it's all dark and you keep going and it lights up. This is a game we played like when we were 10 years old. Right? All the areas that you've lit up, you can fall back on whenever you get stuck in those darker parts. These bunkers are what we're after. And I'll end with a line from one of our teachers back in the day. He said, if the yaqiniyat of a person are only two or three, this is very important. If the yaqiniyat of a person, yaqiniyat means those things that we have conviction in, that we have no doubt in. This is like serious. I mean, we think we have 100% yaqeen, and we don't lots of time. Even if it's two or three, you will find these two or three everywhere helping you. Whatever you get stuck, there's a way out for it. Inshallah, in future nights. Assalamu alaikum ya Allah. Tonight is the night of the second. I just want to remember one of the most oppressed companions of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Very madloom in the sense that on the day of Ashura, one by one the companions, when they fell to the ground, at least they had Imam Hussein above them. They would call out, As-salamu alaykum ya Abu Abdullah. Imam Hussein would come so that their heads couldn't be severed by the enemy. All of a sudden, this person who's on the ground is passing away. He sees that my head is in the lap of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It makes it easier. They say that the mu'min, when he's passing away, sometimes it's hard, he doesn't want to let go. The angels tell him, look around you. He looks around, he sees the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt standing around. And that's when he says, okay, take me now. This is in the afterlife, let alone here. But there's one person who never had that privilege. And it shows how solid of an iman that he had, how solid of a tawheed that he had, that he was able to fulfill his mission. Who am I talking about? the first of the Bani Hashim, they say in history, to for his head to ever be severed. The first of Banu Hashim, Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salam. Salamullah alayhi. I don't know what it is about Ashura and Muharram, Imam Hussein, being sacrificed for Imam Hussein, that you always have to have a pain in your heart if you're going to die for Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Muharram and Ashura, before Ashura. If it's going to be for Imam Hussein, there's always something in you that you lose hope for. Abu al-Fadl Abbas, he wasn't able to do what he really wanted to do, judging from the way we look at things. Abu al-Fadl Abbas wanted to kill as many as he could before he left this world. One less person to slap the children of Abu Abdullah, the better. Let me take out as many as I can. But he didn't. Imam Hussein alayhi salam wants to go to the battlefield. He doesn't have time to bid his children farewell. The arrows come flying. He has to send them in the tents and go. Muslim ibn Aqil, he cannot see Abu Abdullah before he passes away. But not only does he pass away like that, he doesn't see Abu Abdullah. But when they captured him, they tricked him. After killing 40 something of their men, they were eventually able to take over. They tied his hands, they took him to the top of the palace. They say he was upset. Some say he was crying. They said, oh, now you cry? You tried to take over Kufa? Well, this, you have to be prepared for this too. You succeed, you take over Kufa. If you fail, you lose your head. Of course you have to cry. He said, I cry not for myself. I cry because I've told Abu Abdullah to come to Kufa. I've told him to come to Kufa, and I know he has women and children with him. Now this is how you're doing, what you're doing to his representative. What are you going to do to Abu Abdullah himself? What are you going to do to his women and children? They take him to the top of the palace. Some accounts, they say that that person who had been injured and wounded by Muslim, they tell him, you go and you finish the job. They say they struck his neck, but not hard enough. His head was not severed completely. His head is still hanging. They hit it again. They throw his head down from the palace. They throw his body down. They're dragging his body in the streets. Blood is all over him. But before they killed him, they say, he said, As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah. Oh, Hussein, don't come to Kufa. Kufa is not loyal. They tell Imam Hussein alayhi salam that this is what has happened to Muslim on the day when he went from Mecca towards Iraq. And this is the part that hurts. They say Imam Hussein, he went to the tent of Muslim and Muslim's family. He brought the daughter of Muslim in his lap, which was his niece. She was his niece. He began to stroke her hair. They say this girl was very smart. She said, oh uncle, what has happened? You stroke me as if I've become an orphan. Is there anything wrong? They told them that your father has been killed. Imam Hussein is always teaching lessons to the people of how to deal with others, especially in Muharram. There, he stroked the head of this orphan, this daughter of Muslim. It's as if he's saying on the day of Ashura, when you attack my tents, when there's a daughter, there's a three-year-old, please do it as I did to this girl of Muslim. But no, they didn't. They took them to Sham. When that three-year-old was crying, they said, shut her up, bring the head of Hussein. They brought the head of Hussein to this three-year-old daughter. She takes the head of her father and she begins to speak. And then they say that eventually she put her lips on the lip of her father and she passed away. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.